Welcome to NFL Live. Caleb Williams is 9 days away from being the number one overall pick to the Chicago Bears, barring something crazy happening, right? The Bears also have the 9th overall pick, so we'll talk about how they can maximize that selection today. Maybe a wide receiver. We'll tell you about that. Plus, Deshaun Watson spoke to the media today. You'll hear from him and a report on what Cleveland is realistically expecting out of Deshaun. Don't miss that. Also, Justin Jefferson isn't participating in the Vikings voluntary workouts. The latest on where things stand with the Vikings and their star wideout. So glad you're with us today on NFL Live. We have a lot to get to. There's a lot of news as we're getting closer and closer to the draft. And, of course, we've got all the people to help you get there. Of course, Marcus Spears, Robert Griffin III, Jeff Darlington is here. Matt Miller joins us. Some pressing questions around the NFL draft that we will get to. But, y'all, let's begin in Cleveland, okay? We talked about Deshaun, and he spoke today. We saw the Browns make it to the playoffs last season without Deshaun Watson. He had the season-ending shoulder surgery. But it speaks to the talent of the surrounding pieces on that team that they were able to make it so far without him. Deshaun making his way back now. Here's his head coach, Kevin Stefanski, and Watson on his return plan.
We'll make sure that we are smart about Deshaun's rehab and focus on getting him ready for the season. And when he's ready to contribute in practice, he'll be out there based on what the medical staff tells us. Now, having said that, we're putting the system together. We're full speed ahead and in these meeting rooms. And when we get out on that practice field, we're constantly trying to get better as an offense. But we're not going to speed Deshaun up just to get the offense sped up.
The plan is to, you know, come back whenever they feel like, and I feel like we're on the same page that we're ready. So there's not a timeline or a date that we have that, you know, this is when I'm going to be 100%. You know, it's just kind of, you know, how the process, it can be sooner than later. It can be later than soon, you know. So I think it's just really depending on how each landmark we hit and how fast we can get it and how my shoulder is reacting.
Deshaun Watson has taken home $92 million in cash over the last two seasons, second most in the NFL, trailing only Lamar Jackson, who, of course, won the MVP last season. However, Watson's production so far hasn't matched the price for the Browns. Since joining Cleveland, Watson has posted a QBR of 42, which ranks 38th out of 45 quarterbacks. We start with Jeff here. What more can you tell us, Jeff, about Cleveland's expectations for Watson heading into next season?
Well, Laura, the plan is to have him ready for week one. Yes, they made that very clear. But the plan is also to have him ready for the postseason. They want to make sure that Deshaun Watson stays healthy for the entire year. General Manager Andrew Berry made very clear that if there's one thing they still feel like they need to see out of Watson since he became the franchise quarterback is more playing time. Berry said that he believes that Watson would absolutely agree with that. They need him available more often, something that obviously his shoulder injury curtailed this last year. I would say that he is very limited when it comes to the offseason activities that he will endure. His coaching staff made that clear. But again, the eye is on week one, yes, but the eye is also on making sure that he stays healthy for the entirety of the season.
Yeah, I mean, Marcus, that's why they brought him in. That's why they paid him all that money to make it to the postseason and then have longevity within the postseason. How much faith do you have in Watson being healthy and being able to win games for the Browns next year?
Not much faith at all. Look, since this trade, this has been an abject failure. When you talk about $230 million guaranteed and some of the things obviously out of Deshaun Watson's control, but availability is a huge part of the compensation and being there and continuing to get better. And he ain't like the world on fire when he was playing. He had some good moments, but the consistency of all of the time off and then trying to come back and get your feet wet, going through these injuries. This could go down as the worst trade in NFL history when you start thinking about him maybe not even playing enough for us to know if this actually worked out. And it's devastating for the Cleveland Browns because this team is really, really good. This defense was number one in the league last year. They made the playoffs with Joe Flacco. Now imagine if Deshaun Watson was to get back to a semblance of what he was when he was with the Houston Texans, coupled with the things that surrounded him on this team, Amari Cooper offensively. Nick Chubb obviously suffered an injury, but if he came back healthy, as of right now, today, when it comes to the Cleveland Browns in this trade, it's an abject failure. And they are hopefully can get it corrected by his availability and his performance to what $230 million guaranteed should look like.
Well, guys, the problem with Deshaun Watson is if they decided to say they decided to move on from him, if he hasn't played enough and they want to go in a different direction, if they cut him next year, he's going to have a $137 million dead cap hit against the Browns salary cap. Just for comparison, $85 million is what the Broncos took on for Russell Wilson. So I'll just make this statement because it's the truth. With the way the Browns roster is set up, if Deshaun Watson plays like the $230 million quarterback they paid him to be, this team wins the Super Bowl easily. You got Nick Chubb at running back. You got Jerry Jeudy, Amari Cooper, Elijah Moore, David Njoku, an offensive line led by Joel Petonio. I mean, guys, what more could you ask for? And that's only on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah.
Defensively, number one defense in the league, they're certainly top five in most categories. They just need Deshaun Watson to show up and play to his contract. If that happens, hey, the Brownies will be very happy.
Yeah, I will say this, guys. He didn't play up to that $230 million contract necessarily last season, but the Browns were 5-1 with Watson as their starter last year. The problem is it's a smaller sample size to everyone's point here. He's got to stay healthy and be on the field. Let's go to Miami next. Tua Tagovailoa led the NFL in passing yards last season, becoming the first Dolphins QB to do that since Dan Marino back in 1992. However, wasn't all good for Tua and the Dolphins as they struggled against quality competition. Miami went 1-6 against teams that finished with a winning record. They were held to 16 points per game, and Tua nearly had the same amount of interceptions as touchdown passes in those games. GM Chris Greer was asked about the future of the quarterback position in Miami.
I think it's something when it happens, it happens. We've had communications with them, and like we've always, I'll just leave those between the organization and his representation, and it's been good. So we'll just keep working towards it. Him and his agent are very understanding that this is now the draft, so he's letting us focus on that, and then we'll turn our attention to that after the draft finishes.
So obviously Greer is talking about that contract for Tua Tagovailoa. Swagoo's shaking his head. We'll get to that, but Jeff, first, what can you add on where contract discussions stand with Tua and the Dolphins?
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, because I already know, I have a feeling anyway, that this is going to be a source of contention. The Dolphins are planning to extend Tua Tagovailoa. This is no longer a matter of whether they're going to decide to pay him or not. They are planning to pay Tua Tagovailoa. They have made so clear that Chris Greer actually said in his press conference that they have absolutely no intention of drafting a quarterback with their first round pick this year. They are moving forward with Tua. Perhaps they could draft someone to be his backup, but we need to wrap our heads around this. Tua Tagovailoa, as far as Chris Greer is concerned, is the future quarterback of the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, Robert, did Tua show enough last season to earn a long-term deal in Miami?
Yeah, Laura, he absolutely did. I don't understand why it would be a point of contention. Hey, they said he didn't play a full 16 games. He did that last year. You talk about his rapport with their best players, as in Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. The guy led the league in passing yards last year. He's been a top five quarterback for the last 2 years. You saw what your team looked like, not last year, but the year before when Tua was out. This guy is a bona fide top five quarterback in the NFL. They need to go ahead and pay him. And I love the fact that Chris Greer has been so transparent. Right now, the Dolphins are focused on the draft. We have our quarterback. And the main thing you have to ask when paying QBs is, what's your better option? They don't have a better option. Bringing in a rookie and going through that whole song and dance again is not going to be beneficial to what the Dolphins want to do, and that's winning their division and going on to possibly contend for a Super Bowl. Tua helps them get there faster.
So I'm not contending with the fact that Tua is going to be the quarterback. I'm not contending with the fact that he's going to sign a long-term deal. I'm contending that the structure will not be to his liking. The Miami Dolphins don't want another Dallas Cowboys situation with a guy that can almost get them there. And this is the thing that I've been thinking about. Tua has played well. Like, let's not get it twisted. We watched him. We watched the film week in and week out. But when I, every year, and Boogie, you know this about me, and RG and Jeff should know this by now. When there is no question about the quarterback gets $250 million. And the structure is right. When there is no question about him. So I'm not saying Tua is not going to get paid. I'm not saying that he's not in the Dolphins plan for long term. But the structure of this contract is going to be, I think, a point of contention between Tua's representatives and the Miami Dolphins. And to your point, RG, it may be just a supply and demand thing where eventually they have to capitulate and pay Tua more than they want to pay him. But I guarantee you, they don't want to be sitting in the last year of his deal owing him $59 million like the Dallas Cowboys have to do with Dak Prescott right now. This is going to be a very interesting negotiation, and it's going to tell us a lot about what they think Tua is as far as winning a Super Bowl and the long, long term in talking about keeping a quarterback that they think can get them there.
Yeah, the most important thing is wins, right? And to kind of go along with your comparison to Dak, the interesting thing, Swagoo, is that Dak had some of the best numbers in the NFL last season. He was at the top.
But
they didn't make it past a certain point in the postseason. We'll continue to update you on that. But back to Greer for a moment, who was asked about Mike McDaniel's draft input as the Dolphins have a first-round pick for the first time under this regime. The answer didn't disappoint.
He's been out of his mind, because now he's recommending everybody to me.
Okay. So, all right, Jeff, what do we think about this? McDaniel, you know him well. Somebody that sounds like him, right?
That's exactly right. Quirkiest coach in the NFL, but also the coolest. I'm all about me some Mike McDaniel.
You just got to see him. They're like, oh, wait, we could do this with this guy. We could do that. All right. We've got so much more coming your way on NFL Live that you do not want to miss. We are getting into those Cowboys, by the way, and contract extensions looming there. That's going to be all in the offseason. It's America's team. Are they just about the draft? Hear why Marcus believes this is the most important draft Dallas has had since he was drafted. That was a while ago. Sorry, Swagoo. Plus, Romo Odunze is rated Matt Miller's number 3 overall player in the draft, but could he be available to the Bears at 9th overall? Our draft insider is live on the other side of this break with all of the answers. NFL Live is brought to you by Hulu Plus Live TV. Get over 95 live channels, Disney Plus, and ESPN Plus, all in one plan. And Astepro Allergy, nasal allergy relief that starts working in 30 minutes. More NFL Live after this.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. What if in 2024 you got a little bit better every day? When you're learning a new language with Babbel, that's exactly what you're doing. And if Babbel can help you start speaking a new language in just 3 weeks, imagine what you could do in a full year. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Try Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. It's designed by real people for real conversations. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching, so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. They have over 16 million subscriptions sold. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 award-winning language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/tackle. Get 60% off at babbel.com/tackle, spelled BABBEL.com/tackle. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This year's NFL draft is in Detroit, April 25th, 27th, 26th, and 27th. Can't forget the 26th. We'll have every pick once again on ESPN, along with our usual expert analysis. It's also available on the NFL Network. And as always, ABC's coverage focuses on the prospects' journey to the draft. NFL Live will be there. It's going to be a whole lot of fun. We're actually officially 9 days away from the start of the draft, so let's take a look at some notable players who were drafted with the 9th overall pick. Hall of Fame offensive lineman Bruce Matthews was drafted 9th by the Houston Oilers in 1983. Matthews played all 19 of his seasons with the franchise, earning 14 Pro Bowl selections. The Panthers selected linebacker Luke Kuechly, 9th overall in 2012, and Kuechly made the Pro Bowl in 7 of his 8 seasons. He was also the NFL's Defensive Player of the Year in 2013. And Hall of Fame linebacker Brian Urlacher was drafted 9th by the Bears in 2000. Urlacher played all 13 of his seasons with the Bears and was the NFL's Defensive Player of the Year in 2005. So that leads us to this. The Bears also have the 9th overall pick in this year's draft, and Mel Kiper Jr. has him taken former Washington wide receiver Rome Odunze, which would pair him with the presumptive number 1 overall pick Caleb Williams. Yesterday, Odunze went on the Adam Schefter podcast and explained why he believes he's the top receiver in the draft.
Yeah, I think I'm wide receiver 1 in this upcoming draft, and you know, that's not, you know, a knock at any of the receivers in the draft, including those two. I think they're, you know, tremendously talented, tremendously skilled, but I can play outside, I can play inside, you know, I can contest the catch, I can create separation, you know, across the field, I can block, you know what I mean, I can come out of the backfield on a route. Like, for me, the versatility and the completion of my route tree and my receiver game as a whole is unmatched.
I can't do any of the things that Rome Odunze can do. By the way, we welcome in Matt Miller, our draft analyst, who's joining us. But one thing I can relate to with Rome is I walk when I talk like him. He's walking around the whole time talking to Shefties. Like, let me be on the move while I tell you why I'm the number one receiver. Marcus, should the Bears...
Boogie, you got babies.
I know, Boogie.
You got to be on the move.
I did it before I had babies, but that'll be my excuse now. Swag, should the Bears be looking to draft a wide receiver at 9, or is there a bigger need?
Yes, Lord, they should be looking to draft a wide receiver. You ain't drafting Caleb Williams to turn around and hand it off 50 times a game. They already brought Keenan Allen in, and I know that would probably give people a pause as to why they shouldn't draft a wide receiver. But last time I checked, this league is about pushing the ball downfield and being explosive, and we've seen Keenan and what his ability is across the middle of the field. You put Rome and obviously DJ Moore on the outside. Now, this is a devastating offense to try to stop. I want to remind people, too, they got DeAndre Swift as well and Khalil Herbert in the backfield. This offense will immediately contend to be one of the top units in the NFL if they draft Rome coupled with what they've done in the offseason. And, yeah, we could always talk about offensive line and defensive line. Y'all know I'm always with drafting those guys early who can impact the team. But I think where Chicago is right now, being explosive with taking Caleb Williams, go get another wide receiver, because sometimes you might have to put 45 points on the board.
Yeah.
You know, I think with what the Bears have done in the offseason and through free agency, it gives them the leniency and the flexibility at number 9 to take Rome Odunze. So if he is there at number 9, I do think they should draft him. You have to look at this from Shane Waldron, the offensive coordinator's perspective. He's used to having 3 guys that can go out there and be number 1 wide receivers because he had DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, and Jackson Smith and Jigba just last year. The other part of this for Rome Odunze is that he gets to grow with Caleb Williams.
Man, we're fighting it.
Is not going to play
technology.
Yeah, Robert, you're glitching.
Can y'all hear me now?
You're glitching a little bit. We're going to come back to you, but I think we did. It was a great point that you made about Waldron's experience in Seattle. Let's bring Matt in here. Matt, do you think Odunze will still be on the board when they pick at 9? Because that's going to be, I think, maybe a question we should pay attention to, too.
Yeah, I think it's definitely possible that he will be there at 9. We're all waiting to see which teams trade up into the order and what could mess up the draft order for a team like Chicago waiting at 9, hoping that he lands there. So it's certainly possible. And I think if he is there, this is a no-brainer for the Chicago Bears. I love DJ Moore. Getting Keenan Allen is going to help this offense so much. But those guys, especially Keenan Allen, you're in the back end of your career. Let's start using this advantage of having picks in the top 10 to build for the future. Odunze, you said it earlier, Laura, he's my number 3 overall player in this draft. He's someone I compare to Jamar Chase because of his ability to win. He can win 50-50 balls. He can win over the top. We watched that college football game, playoff game against Texas, where everyone knew where the ball was going and no one could stop anything that he was doing. And those corners at Texas are going to be in the NFL within the next couple of years. They're solid players. So that ability and having a young wide receiver for Caleb Williams to grow with in his career, you could have Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase in Chicago with these two weapons being added in the top 10.
I mean, those comps, I think, say it for you right there. Drafting Odunze, just to remind people, gives the Bears a wide receiver trio, as we've talked about, of Odunze, DJ Moore, and Keenan Allen. The Bears have already done so much to set up this number one overall pick for success. That would just be the next step there. Time to read and react, you guys. Let's start in Las Vegas, where Davante Adams shut down any speculation about a potential trade. Adams told reporters over the weekend, quote, "If I wanted to be gone, I'd be gone by now. This is where I want to be." Marcus, what do you think about those comments from Adams?
I love that he wants to stay with the Las Vegas Raiders. I love the fact that Davante Adams went down the stretch last year at the end of the year and wasn't that prolific receiver and never went crazy about it. I think he's fully committed to this team. Obviously, a new coaching regime. There's some new energy in the building. I don't think he should want to leave. I think he should want to build with the Las Vegas Raiders and what they're trying to do moving forward.
To Detroit, where quarterback Jared Goff has some thoughts on who the Lions should draft in the first round.
I would love to be able to, you know, tell them, hey, draft that receiver and draft that receiver and draft that receiver. But I trust Brad so much, and Dan obviously as well, and I trust them, you know, pretty good with that, and know they'll make some good decisions. But yeah, I'm always going to be trying to bang the table for some offensive guys.
Matt, what do you believe is the most pressing need for the Lions in this draft?
Spoken like a true quarterback, trying to get more wide receivers in there. It's not their biggest need, though. They have to look at the trenches. They have to look up front in the offensive line. Frank Ragnow almost retired this past offseason. He's dealt with some injuries. And then on the defensive line, they have an opportunity to bring a local player back. Darius Robinson, a defensive lineman from Missouri. He's accepted his invite to the NFL draft floor. You'll be talking to him on the red carpet there. The Lions have a chance to draft him at number 29 overall, which would really fulfill this defensive line. They have Aleem McNeil, who's such a great young player. They have Aiden Hutchinson. We know the superstar that he is. Robinson's versatility to play inside or outside, which he did for the Tigers, would be fantastic in Detroit. And you get the opportunity to bring the local guy on stage, night one of the NFL draft. Not only is it a great story, it's actually the Lions' biggest need this offseason, too.
Yeah, that seems like it fits really well. Let's go to Los Angeles, where Puka Nacua is adjusting to his training in the offseason with Cooper Kupp.
A lot of top-end speed that we're working on, and trying to, like, his conditioning days were some of the tougher ones. I remember those the first week I came back, I think I threw up every day of the week. And he wasn't the fan of that because it was on his lawn and stuff. It's not like, it's like, oh, you're throwing up in my bushes, you think. It's like, but it was super fun. And then, like, to come back in today, it felt like it didn't miss a beat.
Cooper Kupp's workouts known to be intense. Marcus, who's someone from your playing days that if they called you to work out, you're going to, like, hit ignore on that phone?
T.O. Terrell Owens. Don't ever call. Don't ever accept that call, because that man works. He still works like he worked when he played in the league. But I think he got some of those workouts from Jerry Rice, and we know the history of Jerry Rice's workouts in the summer and getting ready for the season. T.O., that's why he's a Hall of Famer, and he had a tremendous career and is still in elite shape, because them workouts ain't made for the regular man.
No sit-ups in the driveway, all that?
Yeah, all that. All that led to money and a bunch of touchdowns.
You know, I tried to do a sit-up earlier today, and I decided against it. Speaking of the Rams, by the way, and Robert's back with us. We love that. It's Sean McVay's first time drafting in the first round. The need is that defensive tackle. That's evident after Aaron Donald's retirement. Is replacing the future Hall of Famer the top priority for L.A.? More NFL Live is coming your way next. We'll be right back on ESPN.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Week four of the UFL season continues Saturday as the Showboats square off against the Battlehawks at 12:30 Eastern on ABC. And at 7 on Fox, the Defenders take on the Stallions and the Panthers take on the Brahmas. Then on Sunday, the Renegades and Roughnecks square off on FS1. Glad you're with us today on NFL Live. Hey, the Rams have the 19th pick in next week's draft. And assuming they hold on to that pick, it'd be the first time they'd make a first-round pick since 2016 when they selected Jared Goff with the first overall pick. The Rams' current streak of 7 consecutive drafts without making a first-round pick is tied for the second longest in the common draft era. Sean McVay's like, yes, like finally get to make a first-round pick. Matt, what should be their top priority with that first-round pick?
Keeping the pick should be their first priority. It is time to make a first-round pick, Les Snead. I think it has to be offense, and not just because Sean McVay finally gets to use the first-round pick, but they actually do have some needs there, and I think specifically on the offensive line. Listen, I think they found a steal in Alaric Jackson, who came from Iowa as an undrafted free agent. He's been a solid left tackle for them, but Rob Havenstein on the other side turns 32 just a couple weeks after the draft. So I think you, in this opportunity at 19 overall in a very, very deep offensive tackle class, let's start thinking long-term about building up this offensive line instead of kind of the Band-Aid unit that they've had to some degree under McVay. And I'm looking at Amarius Mims from Georgia, Tyler Guyton from Oklahoma, two very athletic college right tackles who could come in, potentially even play left tackle if they needed to, but guys who can learn under Havenstein for a year, maybe even play a little bit of guard if they had to. But this is a unit where you're moving Steve Avila to center, you bring in Jonah Jackson. This could be a really, really good offensive line. You want to keep that continuity going. I think now is the time when you have the quarterback, you have the wide receivers, now's the time to get an offensive lineman so that you continue to really elevate the top five starters that you have out there.
Yeah, a particularly versatile group of O-linemen, the talent level really high, as you're referencing, Matt, but interesting how many positions they could possibly play across the board. Marcus, this is also the first draft for the Rams since Aaron Donald's retirement. Who from this defensive tackle class could help fill at least some of the void left by Donald? You're not going to replace him, but who should they be looking out for?
Yeah, let's live in a world where we don't talk about offense during the NFL draft. I love you, Matt Miller, like everybody else. I'm so tired of hearing about these damn quarterbacks and wide receivers. Let's talk about some big fellas.
Come on now.
Byron Murphy II from Texas is very explosive. Reminds me of Ed Oliver more than Aaron Donald. But when you think about just trying to fill that void, you want to do it with depth. Like, you don't even get in your mind that somebody is going to come in and fill the shoes of Aaron Donald. That was a once-in-a-generational. We may see one, but I doubt it. Very highly that we see one have that type of production. But I really like this kid. And when you look at the production, you kind of feel you may be on the fence because he played with T'Vondre Sweat as well, who was defense player of the year, D lineman of the year for Texas as well. So how much did he benefit from that? But if we just specifically talking about filling the defensive tackle role with explosiveness, the ability to get to the quarterback potentially and play a high caliber role and be a day one starter, I like Byron Murphy. And don't forget about Johnny Newton as well from Illinois.
Yeah, good news for the Rams. There were two rookies in the entire NFL who had at least 8 sacks last season. Both were on the Rams, Kobe Turner and Byron Young. Now, Raheem Morris was the defensive coordinator. Yeah. He's now the head coach of the Falcons. But either way, they've got something figured out there. Time now for some top stories with Jeff Darlington, starting with some news in Denver. Jeff, what more can you tell us?
Well, Laura, it's never a good idea to make too much out of a player not attending voluntary workouts, but this is certainly one to watch right now. Cortland Sutton is not scheduled to attend voluntary workouts as he seeks a new contract. Specifically interesting because he does have 2 years remaining on his deal, and he's going to make decent money next year in the form of $13 million, but only $2 million of that is guaranteed, and that's the only remaining guaranteed money that we're talking about here. So Sutton looking for some long-term security at this point. We'll see if he shows up once things become mandatory. The Commanders hosting multiple players, including their top five quarterbacks. With the second overall pick, there is a lot of people who think that the Commanders will, in fact, go quarterback at that spot. Now, this is an interesting one by GM Adam Peters, who's taking a page out of his previous role with the 49ers, where John Lynch would host multiple players at a time to see how they would all kind of get along, but certainly keep an eye on that one as well. Now, we talked about not making too big of a deal out of voluntary workout absences, but this is a big one because of the players involved. CeeDee Lamb and Micah Parsons, neither of which are expected to attend those voluntary workouts. CeeDee Lamb and Micah Parsons really seeking a similar deal here. The number that we're still watching for both guys is $30 million. That's what wide receivers at the top end of the spectrum are trying to go after right now, both in slightly different situations because CeeDee Lamb coming up on a contract year while Parsons is coming up. He still has a couple of years left, but he wants to get paid now and get that long-term security,
yeah, Laura. They're going to have to shell that money out. We're getting to the Cowboys in just a second, but I did want to add another visit that Adam Schefter just tweeted out. Alabama offensive tackle J.C. Latham visiting tonight and Wednesday with the New York Jets. They've been hosting some big names here lately. Brock Bowers earlier in the week. All right, let's talk about the Cowboys. After another early exit in the playoffs, Jerry Jones stated that he planned to, quote, go all in this offseason to improve the team. But that hadn't been the case so far, as the Cowboys' only significant addition was linebacker Eric Kendricks. Dallas lost several players in free agency, including pass rusher Dorrance Armstrong, running back Tony Pollard, and a pair of starters on the offensive line. Here's what Stephen Jones had to say about going all in.
Everybody can have their own definition of what that means, but I've never not known us to be all in, nor have I known anybody we compete against not to be all in. Doesn't mean it happens overnight, but when you're wanting to sign players like Dak and Micah and CD, then, you know, that certainly you have to hold money back if you want to have a realistic chance at signing those guys.
That was so interesting and revealing. I mean, it's no secret. We know they have to pay Dak, CeeDee, Micah, but he's basically saying we don't have money for other things. Matt, Jones mentioned the Cowboys held off on the spending in free agency. So there are some big holes in this team. What can they do in the draft to try to address those holes?
They have a lot of holes. It's shocking when you actually look at this roster. The graphic there shows just how many players they lost, and that doesn't even include, like, areas of attrition where players just haven't stepped up, or you have to worry about the age of some guys. Now is the time. Dallas has to hit in this draft, or this allure of the Cowboys as this perennial contender should be gone after this year if they don't hit this draft. I mean, they don't have a number two receiver. They don't have a left tackle. They don't have a center. They don't have a running back. That's just on offense where we're talking about you want to support Dak Prescott. Now is the time when you have this veteran quarterback. Draft young offensive playmakers who are inexpensive that can grow and develop with him. So they have holes at every position. I mean, outside of quarterback, the Dallas Cowboys could select any position in the first round of the NFL draft, and we would have to applaud it because they just need best player available. Most importantly, though, they need guys who can come into play right away because they haven't made moves in free agency. There are still some veterans out there that, sure, you could plug those guys in, but these are one-year, maybe two-year type Band-Aids if you're signing guys after the draft, Marcus, to where, like, now's the time, guys. This is a front office that historically does draft very well, but the cupboard is starting to get bare. This is the year where they have to have a big-time draft.
Nah, man, everything you're saying is on point. And the other thing is you can't be all in and you don't have a Super Bowl roster. And I don't give a damn who you draft. You ain't going to have a Super Bowl roster from that either, based on what other teams have done. See, this is what gets lost when we start talking about the Dallas Cowboys. Yes, they will make moves, but guess what? The other people are making moves in the NFL as well who are ahead of them based on what they've done in free agency over the past couple years, based on what they've done in the draft. We just saw the Philadelphia Eagles lock up their receiver along with A.J. Brown, who they brought over in free agency. We've seen the work that the New York Jets have done. We've seen the work that all of these teams that have had a tremendous amount of success do, not only in free agency, but also with drafting well. So therein lies the problem. You want to talk about the Chiefs and how great Patrick Mahomes is? Let's talk about how great Brett Veach has been with drafting young players and getting them to contribute to Super Bowl championships right away. So Dallas is not only banking on the draft going well, they're banking on their three stars that they are trying to sign their quarterback with performing better when the playoffs start. Because that is what the ultimate conversation is always about. In the past, rosters have been better. They've underperformed when it was the most on the line. So we'll see what they do in the draft. And to your point, Matt, they've drafted great. Like, they've hit on majority of the guys that they've drafted, not just in the first round. So you can't kill them for that. That's what you can kill them for is not going out and locking up free agents that may put them over the top for a Super Bowl opportunity, as opposed to getting to the round one or round two in the playoffs and being exited.
Well, and Marcus, you mentioned that intense scrutiny is going to be on them in the playoffs, and you wonder, the roster could be worse than it has been in previous years, but yet they're still expected to make the playoffs, and it's all on Dak. The Cowboys haven't reached the conference championship game since the 1995 season, and just in case you're wondering, Swagoo was 12 years old then. That's how long it's been. Okay,
We didn't have to add that.
That was our researcher, Ryan.
We didn't have to put that in there, man.
Okay, still ahead here on NFL Live. That was mean of me. I'm sorry. Michael Penix Jr. splashed onto the national stage, leading his team the college football playoff title game. Could that lead to his name being called day one? Matt Miller back to tell us the ceiling when it comes to the Washington quarterback's landing spot. We know the talent, but the injuries are a concern. We'll be right back.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hey, we're just over a week away from the NFL draft, so we're going to put Matt Miller to work here. A round of Ask Matt, everybody. Marcus, you are up first. You get to ask Matt anything you want on next week's draft. Go ahead.
Matt, I think after these first three quarterbacks, this draft gets fascinating with J.J. McCarthy, Michael Penix, obviously Bo Nix. But I want to specifically ask you about Michael Penix. What is the ceiling and what do we think he can be? And will somebody get him as a steal if they get him late first, early second round?
Yeah, Marcus, I mean, the feeling is he could be a high-level NFL starter. When you look at his, the arm strength is certainly there. The field vision is there. I think just in terms of who's the prettiest thrower in this draft, it's Michael Penix Jr. We saw that, again, college football playoff time against Texas. Even in the lead-up to that, the two games he had against Oregon last year were fantastic. So he, I think, can be a high-end starter. The question is lack of mobility. He got four season-ending injuries at Indiana before he made it to Washington. Those factor in. But, yes, he can be a steal. I think his draft range is fascinating right now. Somebody that could be middle of round one all the way to probably early round two is where we're looking at right now.
My main man, Eminem. All right, you have the Denver Broncos.
What a time.
Looks like I'm freezing again. So
you are.
No.
Go ahead, Robert. Try it again.
Eminem, you had Sean Payton and then moving up to go get a quarterback after an $84 million cap hit that they're taking on dead money. Why do you think they're going to go up and go get a quarterback like J.J. McCarthy when they're going to be so cash-strapped?
Yeah, I think they have to is the key because they're sitting there right now, number 12 overall in the first round. No second round pick. They traded that for Sean Payton. And their depth chart at quarterback is Jarrett Stidham and Ben DiNucci. So at least they're signing you, RG3. They got to find somebody in this draft to play quarterback because they need it badly. So I think that's the mindset for Denver is they're in a spot where they're truly backed into a corner. So could they try to sit and wait for QB5 or QB6? They could, but it is risky unless... Again, unless they're getting RG3 on the phone, and that's why his internet keeps going in and out, or unless they think Spencer Rattler in the third round out of South Carolina could come in and be a viable starter. But they have to do something. Every other team in the league, it feels like, added at least one quarterback this offseason. except for Sean Payton, who's like the quarterback guy. Mm. So very head-scratching what Denver hasn't done right now.
Signal can't do two things at once.
Yeah, I mean,
that man Signal can't do two
Robert,
things at
you
once,
on the
man.
Phone? Is that, should we break some news or no? Okay.
Ain't never got two things that match.
You know what? You know what it is? Robert, bring
stop
back
it, Marcus.
Bring back your Christmas tree. That's what we need, okay? All right. I'm going to ask a question. We'll see if my internet works. Oh, wait, I'm in studio. Tight end Brock Bowers has had a wide range of landing spots in recent mock drafts. Matt, what are you hearing about where Bowers may end up?
Yeah, Laura, if I were talking to Brock Bowers' family, I would say between picks 10 and 16 is when you should probably start to make sure your phone lines are clear, make sure the internet works, because that's probably when your phone's going to be ringing, unless he's with us in Detroit, that is. But this is the range for him. The New York Jets could definitely take him at number 10. They could give Aaron Rodgers that middle of the field safety valve. Bowers, who had a strong college career at Georgia, unfortunately, he had some injuries this past year that really sidelined him and slowed down his draft process to some degree, but I think 10, the Jets, 16, it would be the floor. I think the Indianapolis Colts at 15 are a really intriguing team to watch if he does get by the Jets at 10, just because they could go offensive tackle. Putting him with Anthony Richardson, Michael Ooh. Pittman Jr., Josh Downs, I would almost become a Colts fan just to watch that offense with Jonathan Taylor in the backfield. So I think 15 is kind of a spicy team to watch for Brock Bowers.
Interesting.
Do we have time? Say something. Can I say something?
Quick.
Okay, go ahead. I just thought, real quick on Brock Bowers. Brock Bowers would be in the conversation for the best pass catcher in this draft if he wouldn't have got injured. Boogie, we saw him at Georgia. It was unreal that a tight end was doing what he was doing from that position.
Mina was saying this yesterday. He's so versatile, you almost can't just call him like your traditional tight end, as we've talked about so many times. You see the different ways he can be used. I think it's why we keep trying to put him on every single team. But 10 through 16, according to Matt, that's what we should be looking out for. He's been visiting the Jets this week, by the way. A lot more coming your way on NFL Live as we carry on here. And so glad to have you with us. Up next, Justin Jefferson was a no-show for the Vikings' voluntary workouts with his contract extension ongoing. Should the fine folks from Skull Country be worried? Jeff Darlington will tell you the latest next. We'll be right back. We're back on NFL Live. Vikings wide receiver Justin Jefferson not present for the start of his team's voluntary offseason program yesterday. He's entering the last year of a contract that's scheduled to pay him $19.74 million this season. Jeff Darlington joining us here with the latest. What more, Jeff, can you tell us about where things stand with Justin Jefferson and the Vikings?
Well, I can tell you, Laura, that the Vikings have made very clear this offseason that they do intend to extend Justin Jefferson. They believe him to not only be a great player on the field deserving of the money, but the type of player that they're willing to pay off the field. And when it comes to this big of a contract, those are certainly factors that are in play. Now, the question, of course, is how high will this contract be? There's been plenty of talk around the league about whether Justin Jefferson will be able to eclipse that $30 million per year mark. And that would explain why he is willing to potentially hold out. That's a lot more money at this point, upwards of about $9 million this coming season alone, and obviously the long-term security that comes with that. So something to keep an eye on for the rest of this offseason. The Vikings making clear they want to pay him, but just how much remains the question.
Yeah, we're talking about a significant potential increase there, to Jeff's point. If you do see him hold out, it could make some sense. Matt, the next big question for Minnesota is who's
that might be why he's holding out. He might say, guys, please get me a quarterback who could actually get me the football. Right. Like, let's find that out, and then I'll show up. They have great draft capital. They have the ammo to go up and get maybe the third quarterback, certainly the fourth quarterback in this draft. You know, about 4 weeks ago, they traded with the Houston Texans. They acquired the number 23 overall pick in the first round. That goes with their original pick, number 11 overall. So they can package those probably with a 2025 first or second round pick in order to slide up and get a quarterback like J.J. McCarthy, who would be great in Kevin O'Connell's offense. The table is set for whomever they draft, whether if they could get to three to get Drake May, that's certainly in play as well. But the table is set with Jefferson there, with Jordan Addison, who they drafted last year and was great when Jefferson got hurt. He stepped up, showed that he could be a number one receiver. They have two very good offensive tackles. They added Aaron Jones. Like, this is a great situation for a young quarterback. So they have to be aggressive. I think what hurts Minnesota, Marcus, is they know everyone knows this team is the one that they have to come get a quarterback. You can all, if you're the Arizona Cardinals at four, you can just ask for anything that you want, basically, and they're going to have to pay it. So the Vikings, they're going to have to overpay. But as Sean McDermott of the Bills said, no one remembers what you gave up if it works. So they're going to have to overpay. But the table is absolutely set for a quarterback here.
No doubt, Matt. Jonathan James McCarthy from Michigan will be the pick probably. But when you think about Sam Darnold already being in the building, you have to ask yourself, with Kevin O'Connell's background, can he work with Sam Darnold enough to get him to a good enough point where he feels like he can play high-level quarterback? Or do you reset, obviously, with the rookie having to pay Justin Jefferson $30 million a year potentially? And I think that's the crux of the argument. The crux of the argument is, I'm going to get a rookie in here that I don't have to pay a ton of money, so I can pay the receiver that's going to make that rookie a lot better, probably look a lot better than he really is at any point during his rookie year. And when you think about J.J. McCarthy and the arguments being made of where he should go, who it should be, I think Minnesota is at a point now where the faith is being put not only in their head coach, it's being put on what's surrounding him. So I would have gave Justin Jefferson some homework when we start thinking about these guys that we would take. Justin, these are the realistic quarterbacks that we potentially could get even when we trade up. I need you to go home, and I need you to evaluate what guys throw with anticipation. You know the type of route runner you are. What type of ball do you like on a deep pass when you're running those crosses or those digs in the middle of the field? What type of ball do you like, and who marries and compares to that as much as you've seen you and Kirk Cousins have this success? And he could be a lot in determining who that guy should be as well, I think.
Yeah. Well, Matt, it's interesting because you don't see – as much on J.J. McCarthy's tape as maybe even see from some of these other guys. If it is McCarthy, do you think he's a good fit in that Minnesota offense?
Oh, absolutely. Your RPO, play action, and he didn't have to throw the ball a ton, but when he did, he was poised, he was accurate. So great fit with Minnesota.
Bring it home, Matt. We'll see you tomorrow on NFL Live.